DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Capital Ideas podcast now features a series hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover what differentiates their investment approach, what learnings have shifted their career trajectories, and how do they find their next great idea? Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Put it in your diary. It's now after 5:30. Every Tuesday, we'll have Marion McKeown and Carl Thomas on in the run-up to the US presidential election, and we'll have more bonus material with them during the week as well. Such is the interest here in Ireland in American politics. And I think, Marion McKeown, that there's going to be an enormous amount of interest in the debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump on the 10th of September. But is there a threat to it happening?
At the moment, there's talk from the Trump camp that maybe they will and maybe they won't. Trump wrote a social media post saying, why would I do the debate against Kamala Harris on that network, meaning ABC, saying that they were biased and stay tuned. But this is just vintage Trump. He can't back out, because if he backs out, it's going to look like he's running scared. And the Harris team has already put up an ad with, you know, to the sound of chicken voices. Can you say chicken voices? I don't think so. Anyway, chicken
sounds.
Chicken sounds. You know, but they're having a stupid debate at the moment within the debate about whether or not there should be a hot mic. Kamala Harris has said, we want the mics turned on all the time, which was directly the opposite of what Biden wanted. Trump is saying, no, we already set the rules. We're going to keep the mics muted, because I think his team feel he's more disciplined with a muted mic. But you could still hear off mic asides that he was making to Biden, even with the mic muted. So this is stupid. You know, they just need to get on with it and do it. People are losing patience.
But sorry, Marion, just before I go to Callan, I mean, actually, is not having a muted mic a good idea, so that we can actually hear what the people say rather than having them talk over each other? That this actually may be where Trump is in the right position.
You know, I think that they're trying to call his bluff. I think what's happening here is the Harris team think that if the mic is unmuted, that Trump can be goaded into saying something appalling that people will be really shocked by. And they're probably right to a degree, that he probably would be, you know, quite unpleasant in the way that he cut across Hillary Clinton. And, you know, I think it's better to have muted mics. And as you say, to have the moderators ask the question, to have the candidate answer the question without the other person cutting across. I think this is, as I said, when I said stupid, I think the Harris camp is being stupid here. They need to just get on with it and have the debate.
So what do you think is going to happen, Carl Thomas? Is there a threat to the debate? How do you think should it be worked?
Well, speaking of chickens, this reminds me of two chickens in a cockfight. They're positioning each other before the attack. I think this is just ridiculous. I mean, the American people don't want to be caught up in this mics and notes or no notes. The Harris camp now wants her to be able to have notes. Trump didn't use notes against Biden in the disastrous debate with him. Let's get on with the thing so we can get information that informs voters so they can vote in an informed way. This is all irrelevant stuff on both sides. I think Trump will do the debate. I agree with Marion. I don't think he's going to back out. It's just all positioning right now that really has nothing to do with the substantive points that Americans want to hear.
Yeah, but Carl, what do you think about the issue of hot mics? Are mics been turned off? Should they be able to interrupt each other, talk over each other? Or would it be better to actually take the Trump position as applied in the last debate?
Yeah, well, this was, of course, the idea of the networks that carried the last debate between Trump and Biden, to mute the mics of the one who is not talking. So I think it could go either way, but I think Marion's right. I think it's better not to have the interruptions. People want to hear full sentences, complete answers to questions, even if they are sometimes off topic.
Okay, so Cal, what do you make of the news in the last hour that we have two prominent former Democrats who have been promised by Donald Trump roles in his committee for the transition of power if he wins, Robert Kennedy Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard.
Now, this is like planning your wedding before you've asked the bride to marry you. A little premature here, I think. I think Tulsi Gabbard is an incredibly articulate person. If you go back and look at the debate she had with Kamala Harris in 2019 during the run-up to that election, she just wipes out Harris. I mean, she hits her on every issue, challenging her to defend her positions on no cash bail for alleged criminals, all kinds of things. And Harris is just looking down at, I guess, her notes, or certainly the podium, and is really unable to answer. So I think Tulsi Gabbard is a great choice. As for RFK,
sorry,
Jr.,
just before you get to RFK, were you as admiring of Tulsi Gabbard when she was a Democrat as you are now?
Yes, that's right. When she was a Democrat, and of course, she, like RFK Jr., by the way, which you'll want to get to in a minute, were drummed out basically of the Democrat Party. The hierarchy didn't want either of them on any ballots challenging Joe Biden. And so I think this is one of the reasons that both RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard feel disrespected by the party, and both of them have left it. Or, as you know, Ronald Reagan used to say, I didn't leave the Democrat Party, Democrat Party left me.
So is that the case, Marion McKeown, that the Democrats are getting their just desserts from these two defectors because of the poor way they'd been treated?
Well, I don't think the Democrats are shedding any tears. I think they're probably delighted that both RFK and Tulsi Gabbard have got behind Trump. Tulsi Gabbard ran for president in 2020. Now, I agree with Cal. She's a very effective speaker. She was a good debater, and she's now helping Trump to prepare for his debate, apparently, against Kamala Harris. But she also... She lost miserably because she's a thoroughly dislikable individual, and there was talk of her links to white supremacist groups, and she had some ridiculous extreme positions. And so she left the Democratic Party, and that's fine. She's ideologically far more aligned with MAGA. So she's got, you know, that's where her tribe is, and American politics is tribal at the moment. So she's gone there, and good luck to her. But I don't think it's any loss. I don't think she's ever been a particularly popular figure. RFK Jr., where do we even start? But this thing about the transition team, let me just say this. Chris Christie, as you may remember, Donald Trump promised him that he could lead the transition team as a kind of a sop to him, you know, for giving him his endorsement in 2016. Christie worked incredibly hard. He had 20 folders full of it, how it should all have been done. Then the son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who had a grudge against Christie, came in, got him fired, and Christie said in his own book, they took his 20 folders and they threw them in the dumpster. So being told you can help Trump with his transition means absolutely nothing, although I think Cal put it perfectly there. Look, you know, it's the invitation to the wedding when the proposal hasn't been made. You know, if Trump loses, it's all moot. And even if he wins, it's probably not going to happen, because who wants RFK picking staff for your presidency with his record?
What is so wrong with his record? That's what some listeners want to know. Why is the mainstream media so down on Robert Kennedy Jr., calling him a conspiracy theorist? Marion.
Well, because he is. I give you one instant, okay? He became involved. He set up this group called the Children's Defence Network, and I hope that's the actually correct title, but it is, I think. And he started travelling overseas, and one of the places he went to was Samoa, and he persuaded the president of Samoa that vaccines were dangerous, children's vaccines were dangerous, and for all these reasons that he was trying to gain traction at home and failing. And they then had a ban on vaccines, and then there was a measles outbreak. 2,700 people became seriously ill. 85 or 89 children died. And then Kennedy said, well, I never told him to stop giving out the vaccines. You know, it happened specifically because he went there. All these children lost their lives, you know. And this is just, you know, that's just one example of, you know, people who are close to Kennedy, or who were close to Kennedy, believe that he has a mental illness. And I've covered about a dozen of his events, and he didn't do that many. When when his candidacy was open. And he's just a guy who, he's very like Donald Trump in ways that he's an entitled, rich, white guy who craves the spotlight, who craves attention, and who is riddled with grievance, even though he came from a spectacularly wealthy, privileged family. He takes a whole bunch of positions that don't make sense. He totally is against America helping Ukraine, you know, following the Russian invasion. He's totally opposed to giving any assistance to Ukraine. His border policy is just bonkers. It's all over the place. You know, on every single issue, the guy, he just doesn't make sense, even environmental stuff. And I won't even get into that, but we could. We haven't enough time.
Well, Carl, you know, you knew Teddy Kennedy, his uncle, very well. I think you had a lot of respect for Teddy Kennedy. What do you think of Robert Kennedy Jr. and how he compares to the other Kennedys?
Well, not very favorably, Matt. I mean, look, this is a family that is the Kennedy brand name has been golden for decades, even across generations in this country. Whether you like their policies or not, many of them have suffered greatly. The oldest son, of course, died in World War II in a plane crash. JFK assassinated. Bobby Kennedy Sr. assassinated. A lot of tragedy in this family. And many, many Americans, regardless of their political worldview, while they may not support electorally any of the Kennedys, still feel great empathy for them. And of course, the Irish people in America have great affinity for the Kennedy name. But, you know, every family has its black sheep, I guess you would say. Certainly Jimmy Carter's brother, Richard Nixon had a brother that was kind of dicey.
Bill Clinton.
Others. Yeah, Bill Clinton, exactly. And so I don't think you can judge an entire family by the actions or positions of one. But Junior is really nutty in a number of areas. The latest thing is the cutting off of a whale's head. We had the dead bear in the woods. And I mean, this is just crazy.
Sorry, Cal, we discussed the dead bear in the woods previously. But for those who are not familiar with the chainsawing of the whale head and the splattering of the children in the car, can you briefly explain that story to people, please?
Well, it sounds like some kind of ancient sacrificial ritual to one of those Old Testament gods. You know, it's hard to keep up with all of these things. It supposedly involved a chainsaw that he took off the head of a whale. And I don't know if I'd like to, if I were doing an interview with him, I think that would be fascinating to ask how that came about. How in the world did he get the whale in the first place? Where'd he get the chainsaw, and where'd he get the idea of cutting off a whale's head with a chainsaw? This sounds like some really bad B movie, like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Well, I suppose he put his hand into the bear's mouth once dead. Maybe he was going to do the same with the whale, Marion.
Well, you know, I think I can shed, and I thought the Hyannisport Chainsaw Massacre was exactly what I thought when Cal was saying that. And what happened was this whale washed up on the beach in Hyannisport, which is where the Kennedy family compound is. So he apparently, this was told by his daughter, by the way, this story to a magazine back in I think around 2012, and it just shows how ruthless the Harris people are, that they're, you know, they're going to dig up all this stuff, and there's so much more to come, unfortunately, for the Kennedy family. But he ran back in, got a chainsaw, and then saw the head off, because apparently he has an interest in the skulls of mammals. Of course, a whale's head is absolutely enormous, so he bungee corded it to the top of the family's camper van, and then drove along the highway for 5.5 hours back to Mount Kisco in New York, where they live, with this whale head, and of course it was spilling all blood and gore into the family van, and the kids were told to put plastic bags over their heads with holes for their mouths to stop the gore from spilling down their heads.
As you do.
I mean, as you do. I'm sure you do that when you go to Dingle every year, Matt.
Yeah. Hey, don't start any rumours that I'm responsible for Fungi's disappearance. Gee, be careful. Okay, Cal, can I go back to you? What significance is there, do you think, that there are now hundreds at this stage of former George Bush and McCain and Romney staffers deciding to endorse Kamala Harris ahead of Donald Trump?
Well, of course, this is political timing. I've noticed two out of three of those that you mentioned McCain and Romney lost elections they might have won, so I don't put a lot of stock in their view or in these orchestrated signature ads. You may recall the 57 former intelligence agencies did something similar when they claimed the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. So all of this stuff is political. It's a run-up. It's like an on-deck circle in batting. Who have you got? Who have you got coming up next? And can he or she hit? So, and like Marion said about RFK Jr., there's got to be more of this stuff coming out, all designed to try to defeat the other candidate.
Okay, but do you think, Ashian, just stepping back a little bit, do you think will it help Trump's vote getting to have Robert F. Kennedy and Goddard on board?
Well, I've heard some of the pundits on various cable stations in the U.S. Talk about this, where among those people who don't like the government, who are anti-vaxxers, who question authority and this sort of thing, in the important seven swing states, and that's all that really matters with all of the other states, the other 43 states, pretty much determined to go either Republican or Democrat, no matter who the nominee is. It might sway a few voters, but I don't think it's going to sway too many, especially when this craziness we've been talking about comes out.
Okay, and let's talk about other things. Marion, this is an important one. What about what the Meta boss, Facebook boss, Mark Zuckerberg, has been saying about being pressured by the Biden administration to pull COVID content?
Yeah, you know, this was as a result of a House inquiry up in Washington, D.C. And he said that he regrets that he was pressured by the Biden administration during COVID to remove memes and other things and other claims that were counter, basically, to, I think, the sense that was being spoken by the Biden administration about COVID. So stuff that was counter to that, Biden officials were basically pressuring Meta to remove that stuff. Now, I'm not clear the degree to which he did remove it, but he said that senior officials from the Biden administration, including the White House, repeatedly pressured them for months to censor it. He said it was including humor and satire. So they left the decision up to Meta whether or not they couldn't force them to do it, but he says that the pressure itself was wrong and that they should have pushed back harder at the time. It's part of this move with Silicon Valley. It seems to be moving in Trump's direction by and large. And Zuckerberg, who paid for a big project to register electoral voters in 2020, I think he spent about $400 million on it, said that this year he's not going to help the registration of voters at all. So I think reading between the lines, it seems to me that it's part of this inch towards Trump by Silicon Valley in general.
Okay, we will leave it there. Thank you, Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas, for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.